Imagine waking up to a life you've carefully constructed. The Viking stove, the beautiful children, the loving husband, while a different version of yourself lies dormant beneath the surface, waiting to be awakened. This is Megan Pierce's reality. Once known as Cassie, an Atlantic City stripper who thrived on danger and adrenaline, she escaped that world 17 years ago when it became too dangerous. But one phone call threatens to collapse the walls between her past and present. Someone has spotted Cassie at La Creme, the club where she once worked, and most alarmingly, claims to have seen Stuart Green, a violent, obsessive man from her past who was supposed to be gone forever. How long can you run from who you really are before the truth catches up? The narrative unfolds through three interconnected perspectives, each character broken in their own way by events from 17 years ago. Detective Broom carries the weight of Stuart Green's unsolved disappearance, visiting Green's wife Sarah annually, watching her children grow up without a father. When Carlton Flynn vanishes on the exact anniversary of Green's disappearance, Broom's investigative instincts kick in. Could these cases be connected? Meanwhile, Ray Levine is transformed from award-winning photojournalist to grade-A loser, working as fake paparazzi and drowning his nights in Jack Daniels. His downward spiral began the same night Stuart Green vanished, the night Cassie disappeared from his life. These three broken individuals orbit around a violent event none of them fully understands, each holding pieces of a puzzle they don't realize they're solving together. What starts as coincidence evolves into something far more sinister. With help from his ex-wife Erin, Detective Broom discovers all the missing men disappeared on Mardi Gras in different years, a pattern invisible until now, because the lunar calendar shifts the date each year. This suggests a calculated long-term operation. When Broom receives an anonymous photograph showing Carlton Flynn in the Pine Barrens the night he vanished, at the same iron ore ruins where Megan claims to have seen Stuart Green's body, the connection becomes undeniable. Further investigation reveals another murder at that exact location years earlier, with a man still in prison claiming his innocence. Could all these cases be linked? And what connects these victims beyond their disappearance dates? The investigation takes a dramatic turn when Broom's team discovers an abandoned well containing multiple bodies. Carlton Flynn's corpse lies at the top, while deeper layers reveal increasingly decomposed remains. Forensic specialist Samantha estimates between 10 and 20 victims, their bones telling a story of systematic murder spanning years. The methodical disposal confirms Broom's suspicion that the Mardi Gras disappearances were the work of a calculating serial killer. Among the most disturbing elements are Ken and Barbie, a clean-cut young couple whose wholesome appearance masks sadistic tendencies. Former camp counselors who bonded over their shared fascination with inflicting pain, they now work as torture specialists for hire. When they target attorney Harry Sutton, Megan's only confidant about her past, their methods reach new levels of brutality. Using a soldering iron with clinical precision, they extract information about Cassie before Harry dies from the torture. Their involvement reveals someone with extensive resources is desperate to silence anyone getting close to the truth. What's most chilling is how they maintain normal lives, discussing wedding venues while cleaning torture implements, debating whether a suburban mother deserves their attention over dinner. Functional psychopaths hiding in plain sight. Meanwhile, Megan finds herself fighting for survival against Barbie, who attacks her with surgical precision. In a desperate struggle, Megan manages to turn her attacker's weapon against her, delivering a fatal wound just as Dave, her husband, arrives, forcing him to witness the fierce survivor beneath his wife's carefully constructed suburban facade. His shocked expression reveals the permanent shift in how he sees the woman he thought he knew completely. Ray and Megan reunite after 17 years at Lucy, the iconic elephant-shaped tourist attraction where they once conducted their clandestine meetings. Beneath Lucy's weathered belly, where their faded R plus M remains carved among countless lovers' initials, Megan reveals the haunting truth. She discovered Stuart Green's bloodied body and immediately assumed Ray, with his volatile temper, had killed him. Ray appears both hurt and angry at her assumption. He explains finding only traces of violence at their meeting spot, spending years searching for her, eventually fleeing to Los Angeles before feeling an inexplicable pull back to Atlantic City. When Ray mentioned someone attacked him to steal photographs he'd taken at the ruins on the anniversary of Green's disappearance, they realized these images might connect Green and Flynn's cases, pointing to a single perpetrator still active after all these years. In a shocking revelation, Lorraine, the bartender from La Creme who first contacted Megan, emerges as the serial killer. For 17 years, she targeted abusive men, particularly those who mistreated women at the club, seeing herself as an avenging angel. The truth about Ray's involvement also emerges. He never sent Megan a message to meet that night, but followed her out of curiosity. Finding Stuart Green dead with his throat slit, Ray assumed Megan had killed him. To protect her, he disposed of the body, dismembering it and dumping the weighted bags near Cape May. This revelation breaks Megan's heart as she finally understands Ray's sacrifice, carrying this terrible secret for 17 years while suffering from her abandonment. As Megan leaves the prison, she realizes Lorraine engineered everything. The false message about meeting Ray, rumors about Stuart Green still being alive, completing the puzzle of 17 years of calculated murders. 2 weeks after Lorraine's capture, her case becomes an international sensation, with her lawyer portraying her as an avenging angel rather than a serial killer, highlighting the moral ambiguity that many of her victims were themselves predators. Ray secures a photography job with the Associated Press on the Pakistan-Afghanistan border and decides against contacting Megan, accepting that some chapters must remain closed. Megan returns to domestic life with Dave and their children after confessing everything. Though Dave struggles to reconcile her past, they begin rebuilding trust. Megan embraces suburban normalcy while acknowledging her restlessness may eventually return. The truth is, we never truly outrun ourselves. We can change our names, addresses, even appearances, but the shadows of who we once were follow us. Yet when past and present collide, something authentic emerges, a life no longer divided. Perhaps true freedom comes not from running away, but from finally facing what's been chasing us all along.